Hi there, this is Kevin Skinner, pastor at First Baptist Church in Stockdale, Texas, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. If you live in the Stockdale area, then I would invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. to worship with us in person. You can also check out our webpage at fbcstockdale.org. Here at First Baptist, we are a community church with a kingdom mission, and we invite you to join us on that mission.
When Sarah and I first got married, I was fresh out of college and I was working for a rental car company, a thrifty rental car, and I was working at the airport in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And after working there for some time, one of my primary functions became checking the cars in as they were returned to the parking garage. And I developed a stomach ulcer around that same time, completely unrelated to working for a rental car company. Right? But I developed this stomach ulcer, and if you've ever had an ulcer, you know how painful they can be. This was painful. Now, another key piece of this story is that I would take my lunch to work with me every day, and I would eat my lunch in that rental booth between customers, and I would usually take with me a sandwich, a bag of chips, and a Dr. Pepper. But one particular day, as I was kind of experiencing this pain from the ulcer in my stomach, I was sitting there in the booth thinking to myself, man, I really wish that I had not brought a can of Dr. Pepper with me today. Now, some of you may be thinking, man, Dr. Pepper, that's exactly what the doctor ordered, right? but I was thinking, man, this is just going to hurt my stomach even more. And so... I was thinking to myself, I really wish I hadn't brought this can of Dr. Pepper. I wish that I had brought a bottle of water with me. So I continued checking in cars when a certain customer checked in their vehicle. And as I was checking in their car, the customer said to me, I've got this case of water in the back seat. I don't need it. You can have it. I was stunned, right? I hadn't said this to anyone, that I needed a bottle of water. I hadn't even said it out loud. All I had done was thought it. And in that moment, it was like the Lord spoke into my spirit and said, I know what you need even before you do. So we're just days away from Christmas morning, days away from the celebration of Christ coming into this world all those years ago. Now, on Sunday mornings here at First Baptist Church Stockdale, we've been talking about the different gifts that God has been faithful to provide for us through his faithful provision of his Son, Jesus Christ. But as we think about all of these gifts that God has been faithful to provide for us, the gift of hope, the gift of peace, the gift of joy, the gift of love, as we think about all of these gifts, the greatest gift that God was faithful to provide for us was Jesus himself. And I want you to know, God sent Jesus into this world because God knows what we need even before we do.
Amen.
Let me say that again. God sent Jesus into this world because God knows what we need even before we do. And what we need is a Savior. You see, Scripture tells us that every single one of us has sinned. You have sinned, and I have sinned. And what we are owed because of our sin is death. Death is owed to you. Death is owed to me. But God, in his great love, sent Jesus into this world to go to the cross even before we knew that we needed him to die on that cross, to pay for your sins and to pay for my sins. And the promise is that anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, anyone who calls upon the name of Jesus will be saved. God knows what we need even before we do. And maybe you came here tonight not even realizing the sin that is in your life, the sin that has separated you from God. Maybe you came here tonight not realizing your need for a Savior. But I want you to know, I don't believe that you are here by accident. Rather, I believe that God has brought you here on purpose and with a purpose, that you might hear of this great hope that is found in Jesus, that you yourself might come to know Jesus as Lord, that you would be forgiven, that you would be redeemed. You see, God knew what you needed even before you did. Jesus came into this world to go to the cross that he might save you. But before Jesus went to the cross, we're reminded that first he went to the manger. And so tonight we're going to look back at a very familiar story once again. And as we look at this familiar story, we're going to be reminded of the greatest gift that God provided for us. We're going to be reminded of the gift of Jesus. So the passage that we're going to look at tonight is Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. And let me read this passage to us right now. It says, "In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house of and family line of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no guest room available for them." So as we look at this passage tonight, there are three things that I want you to remember. First, I want you to remember the time. How did verse 1 begin? It says, "In those days." Now, we've all heard a good story, and good stories many times begin with a familiar phrase, "once upon a time," unless it's a story written by George Lucas, in which case it begins a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Right? But that phrase, "once upon a time," it's a very familiar literary phrase for us that dates all the way back to the 1380s. And it's a phrase that is used to create for the reader both time and distance. But as we look at the birth of Jesus, understand this is no once upon a time. Rather, what we're reminded of with those words, "in those days," is that Jesus came into a real world at a real time. Because this is more than just a story, this is a historical record. Jesus came into a real world at a real time. But not only that, Jesus came for a real people. Jesus came into this world for you and for me. And while that phrase, "once upon a time," is used to create distance for the reader, as we think about Jesus coming into this world in those days, understand it wasn't to create distance, it was to provide closeness. Hear that again. Jesus coming into this world in those days wasn't to create distance, it was to provide closeness, because Jesus' coming was a reminder that God desires relationship. And I want you to hear me. God desires a relationship with you. Now, maybe you came here tonight feeling distant from God. Maybe you're feeling distant from God because of the busyness of your schedule, and you recognize, man, I really just haven't been making time for God. Maybe you feel distant from God because of the craziness of the holidays. Let's face it, even though this season is really all about Jesus, so often during this time we can become focused on all the wrong things. But maybe you feel distant from God because of sin in your life. Whatever the reason, if you're here and you feel distant from God, I want you to hear me again. God desires a relationship with you, and you can find that relationship through Jesus Christ. This is why Jesus came into the world, into a real world at a real time. This is why Jesus came in those days. So I want you to remember the time. Second, I want you to remember the tax. Now, while we don't see that word "tax" mentioned, we do see the word "registration" mentioned in verses 1, 2, 3, and 5. So let me take you back to my days working for the rental car company. After working as a rental agent for several months, I applied to work in the business office, and I landed a position working in the subrogation department. Now, I'll be honest, when I applied for the job, I had no idea what the subrogation department was. All I knew is that it paid more than what I was making at that time. What I would discover when I interviewed was that what I was going to be doing was debt collections. I was going to be a debt collector, a bill collector for unpaid rental contracts. But in my naivety, I had no idea how I was going to be collecting these debts. In my mind, I pictured myself having to go from house to house, knocking on doors, asking people to pay up. And of course, what I would later find out is that I could do all of the job from a desk because I'd just be sending out emails, or not emails, I'd be sending out letters and then just fielding phone calls from customers. But I went into my first day still not knowing how I was going to be collecting these bills, still thinking that I was going to have to go door to door. So our boss called myself, called my coworker into his office to give us the game plan for the day. And essentially, what he was trying to communicate was that he wanted me to sit at the chair at my desk and that I would go through all of the steps of everything I needed to do, and that she would just sit beside me and guide me, giving those instructions to me. That's what he was trying to communicate, but that's not what he said. What he said was, I want you to let Kevin be in the driver's seat today. And when I heard that, I foolishly responded, I don't have my car. My wife dropped me off. Now, thankfully, I know. Now, thankfully, he just thought I was hilarious, which he's not wrong, right? But he just thought I was joking. And so I would later find out that I would just be able to sit at my desk and she would guide me through the day. So as we look at the registration or the census is what brought Joseph and a very pregnant Mary to Bethlehem. And it was decreed by Caesar Augustus with the intention of taxing households. In other words, it was decreed with the intention of placing debt upon the people. But what we are reminded of with Jesus's coming into this world is that Jesus didn't come to tax us. Jesus didn't come to place debt upon us. Rather, Jesus came to remove that debt from us. Jesus didn't come to place debt upon us. Jesus came to remove that debt from us. You see, Jesus didn't simply come to be laid in a manger. Jesus came to go to that cross. And when he hung on that cross, your sins and my sins were nailed upon that cross with him. Our debt was placed upon him. And when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, when we confess him as Lord, our debt is forever removed. No one is going to come knocking at our door. No one is going to send us a letter in the mail. That debt is forever forgiven through Jesus Christ. Jesus didn't come to tax us. He didn't come to place a debt upon us. Jesus came to remove that debt from us. And that's what we are reminded of as we remember the tax. So I want you to remember the time, and I want you to remember the tax. Finally tonight, I want you to remember the town. Let's look at verse 4 again. It says, Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family line of David. So Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem. So the world's largest bread museum was founded in Germany in the year 1955 by the Iceland family. And they made their living by selling bakery supplies. So their museum features more than 18,000 artifacts, organized into exhibits that cover every period of bread making. But one thing you won't find in the bread museum is actual bread. In fact, the owner of the museum said that the founders had this belief: bread is not an artifact, but a food. In other words, bread isn't simply for us to look at, it's something for us to experience for ourselves. So as we're reminded of the place of Jesus' birth, that name Bethlehem had a very significant meaning. It means house of bread. Now, why is this significant? Because Jesus would later go on to say in John chapter 6 that he is the bread of life. So So if you go to the Bread Museum, you won't find any bread. But if you go to Bethlehem, as we look at Bethlehem, the house of bread, what we find is the bread of life. And Jesus would go on to say that no one who comes to me will ever be hungry again. In other words, Jesus is not just to be looked at. Jesus is someone for us to experience for ourselves. And so I would ask you tonight, are you just looking at Jesus, or have you experienced him for yourself? You see, so often at Christmas time, it's so easy for us to just look at Jesus. We look at Jesus in the Bible stories. We look at Jesus in the Christmas cards. We look at Jesus in the name Christmas itself. But if we aren't careful, we can treat Jesus like he's just an artifact, a piece in a museum to come back to look at once a year. But Jesus' desire isn't just for you to look at him. Jesus' desire is for you to know him. To know him as the bread of life. To know him as the one that can fill you. To know him as the one that can satisfy you. And ultimately, to know him as the one who can save you. Jesus' desire isn't just for you to look at him. His desire is for you to know him. This is why Jesus was born in Bethlehem all those years ago, that we might know him personally today. And so as we remember the time, we are reminded that Jesus came into a real world at a real time for a real people. As we remember the tax, we are reminded that Jesus came to remove our debt from us. And as we remember the town, we are reminded that Jesus isn't just someone to look at. Jesus is someone to be known. And when we come to know Jesus as Lord, what we find is that he forgives us, he saves us, and he sets us free. So let me say it again. God knew exactly what we needed even before we did. And that's why he sent us Jesus. So I'm going to invite the musicians forward. And I'm going to ask that all of the lights be turned out in the room. In just a moment, the room is going to go completely dark. And as the lights are turned off, and as this room gets dark, what I want you to do is I want you to start bringing to mind this last year that's soon coming to a close. And let me just ask you, what darkness have you experienced this year? Maybe you've experienced the darkness of losing a job. Maybe you've experienced the darkness of losing a loved one. Maybe you've experienced the darkness of an unexpected diagnosis. What darkness have you experienced this year? Here's the truth. This world can be a very dark place. And yet, as believers, we are reminded that no matter how dark this world may get, there will always be a light shining in the darkness. And that light is Jesus. So in John chapter 6, Jesus calls himself the bread of life. But in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus calls himself the light of the world. And he says, "Anyone who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." You see, when we have the presence of Jesus in our lives, there will never be a darkness that his light can't overcome. And so we have this assurance that no matter how dark this world might get, because of his light, we never have to walk in darkness again. So in John chapter 8, 12, Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." But in Matthew 5, 14, speaking to the disciples, Jesus says, "You are the light of the world." Just as Jesus came into a real world, now he is sending us out into a real world as well. And he sends us out with his light. You see, as Jesus places his light in us, we are then called to take this light out into the world, that in the darkness we also might shine. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to come and I'm going to light my candle from the Christ candle. And then I'm going to have Becky and Palmer, they're going to come and they're going to light their candle from my candle. And then we're going to go throughout this room and we're going to light your candles. And in the darkness, our lights will shine.
Thanks for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of every service, I offer an invitation to respond, and I'd like to invite you to respond today. If you'd like to make Jesus Christ your Lord, or if you'd like information about membership here at First Baptist Stockdale, then head on over to fbcstockdale.org/respond. Your response will come directly to me, and I'll follow up with you this week. God bless you, and have a great week.